Hello, welcome to the next episode of NBL Podcast. We're going out to all across Australia. Hope you're enjoying our show. It's been a good week of NBL action this week. I've really enjoyed a lot of the games. It's been fantastic. Remember, you can always hit us some feedback at nblpodcast@yahoo.com. This is episode 8. Hope you're finding this show alright. My podcasting website lost all my episodes, so I've got to put them back up in case people have missed out. So I'll get onto that as soon as I can. But now we'll go with our wrap-up of last week's games. First game we're going to look at is the Kings versus the Bullets. We've got reporting here from Mark Fox at Sportal. It is the Sydney Kings' unbeaten start to the season, which has remained intact after a 127-117 victory against the Brisbane Bullets in Brisbane. The Kings were well worth their first victory in five against Brisbane, surging ahead by 20 points in the third quarter, before holding off an empathetic fourth-quarter blitz under serious pressure. Coach Brian Gorgian praised role players Dante Draper and BJ Carter, as well as Russell Hinder, who was returning from a month on the sidelines with a calf problem. "We just had a lot of avenues tonight to score, and we shot the ball well," Gorgian said afterwards. "We haven't done this in 2 years, beat a team like Brisbane or Melbourne Tigers on the road, so it's a big step since the three-peat." The 10-point triumph snapped Brisbane's year-long home-winning sequence and ended its hopes of passing Adelaide's 21-year competition record of 20 consecutive home wins, set in the 1985-86 season. It now faces a daunting five-match schedule of away games, including trips to face the Taipans, Wildcats, and a return clash with the Kings before its next home fixture against the Slingers in a month's time. Asked if there was one major factor which disappointed him the most, Bullets coach Joey Wright responded, "Attitude. Just attitude. It was a big game and we didn't get up for it," he said. "Throughout the season, I haven't had the focus or the hunger that I would have liked to have had." Sydney's three-point shooting troubled Brisbane all night, with the Kings going 19 from 33 outside the arc, while out-rebounding the Bullets 53-39. Carter loaded up with 19 points, but the all-round contributors of Hinder, with 14 points and 13 rebounds, and fellow big man Ian Crosswhite, 10 points and 11 boards, made most of the Kings' size advantage. Kiwi international Craig Bradshaw was manful against the Sydney duo with 30 points, while CJ Bruton shot 33 in a dynamic individual display. Missed free throws cost the Bullets a quarter-time lead, as an intriguing battle between Brisbane's great mobility and the size and bulk of the Kings developed. Technical fouls were called on former Kings teammates Crosswhite and Bruton after their blow-up raised the temperatures inside the convention centre, but the Boomers guard was keeping his cool and nailed his third triple at the start of the second. Needless fouling by Cameron Tovey at the beginning of the term was indicative of the whole quarter, but as halftime approached, Sydney's potency from the outside the arc started to tell. With Wright desperate to keep his troops focused on the game as it became a niggly affair, punctuated by a number of stoppages, Hinder hit two triples while Carter was shooting 4 from 5 distance by the major break as the Kings stacked up a 67-51 halftime lead. Sydney resumed control in the third with Carter and co unstoppable from deep as the Kings maintained a double-figure advantage heading into the fourth. But the final term was electric as the Bullets galloped to within 5 points just over 2 minutes to play on the back of an inspired Bradshaw display and some typical Ebi Arara extravagance. However, when Draper sank a three and a Hinder late double in strange circumstances, the Kings kept their nerve from the free throw line to steal a memorable win. Final score was Sydney 127, Kendall with 24, Carter 19, and Worthington with 19 as well. The Brisbane Bullets 117, Bruton with 33, Bradshaw 30, and Ebi Arara with 16 in front of a crowd of 3,117. The next game to look at is the Tigers versus the Slingers, with reporting by Darren Lai of Sportal. The Melbourne Tigers won their seventh consecutive game of the Hummer Championship by seeking off the feisty Singapore Slingers 105-96 in Singapore on Wednesday night. Stephen Hoare led the Tigers with 20 points, aided by David Barlow 17 and 15 from skipper Chris Anstey. It was the second time that the Tigers were facing the Slingers this season at the same venue, following their earlier 117-94 win in round one. But as the result on Wednesday indicated, the game was a lot closer this time round as the Slingers continued to show signs that they are an improving team. The home side got off to yet another slow start to find themselves trailing 4-15 with less than 5 minutes registered on the clock. But cheered on by an enthusiastic crowd, the home side fought back strongly to pull within 4 points thanks to 7 consecutive points from big man Chris Cameron. On the back of some hot shooting from beyond the arc, the Slingers went on a 15-4 run to rest the lead at 19-18. New centre David Donaldson wasted no time in endearing himself to his new fans with an alley-oop dunk off a Rod Grizzard feed with 2:50 left in the quarter. But the Tigers showed their experience to rally and regain their composure and advantage before closing out the period with a 28-25 lead. A trademark monster dunk by Grizzard got the crowd on their feet to start the second quarter, and just like in their previous encounter in the opening round, the Slingers showed lots of spirit by staying close to the Tigers and never allowed the visitors to open up any significant lead. Indeed, they even managed to draw level at 43 apiece with slightly over 4 minutes to go before the break. But that was as close as the Slingers got to an upset victory, as Melbourne's suffocating half-court defence started to take its toll on the Slingers team in the third period. An usual top scorer Mike Helms continued his struggle to get into the action, contributing just 6 points at this stage. With their opponents on the ropes, the Tigers took full advantage by opening up their biggest lead since the opening minutes, closing out the third quarter with an 83-66 lead. Donaldson's night, which had started so brightly, went pear-shaped as he picked up his sixth personal foul to foul out with 1:21 left. Watched on by his parents in the stands, Helms finally awoke from his slumber with 15 points in the final period to finish the match with a game-high 21 as the Brave Slingers attempted to stage yet another comeback. But despite outscoring the visitors 30-22 in the quarter and closing to within 7 points with 2 minutes remaining, there was never really any danger of Melbourne losing grip on their lead, as the Tigers improved their all-time record against the Slingers to 5-0. Slingers coach Gordy McLeod was clearly disappointed with the result, but said that he was pleased with the effort put in by the young team. We are improving with each game we play, but if we are to stand any chance of winning games in the NBL, we have got to stop allowing other teams from scoring more than 100 points against us, he said. Looking forward to Sunday's game here against New Zealand, it is important for us to stay positive and evaluate the things that we were poor in. To get a win in the NBL is tough, and to beat the Breakers, we need more players to play at the level we know they are capable of and cannot afford lapses like tonight. Melbourne coach Al Westover was generous in his praise for the ever-improving Slinger side. He said, "Credit to the Slingers and their coach for playing an inspiring game tonight. They made it tough for us and showed just how difficult it is to win here in Singapore." Final score was Singapore on 96, Helm with 21, Yanev with 17, Knight and Grizzard both on 13, and the Tigers on 105, Hoare with 20, Barlow 17, and Anstey with 15 in front of a crowd of 2,500. The next game is Adelaide versus the New Zealand Breakers, with reporting by Mike Kilpatrick. The New Zealand Breakers have scored back-to-back home wins, defeating the Adelaide 36ers 116-109 in Auckland on Thursday night. Most impressive for the home side was import Rick Rickett with 30 points and 13 rebounds, and a resurgent Tony Ronaldson who put a poor opening stanza behind him to score a season-high 19 points. Captain Brett Maher led the way for the 36ers with 27 points, and was ably supported by Mike Chappelle with 21. Breakers coach Andre Lemanis was pleased to win the game, despite his team giving up more points than they would like. "We weren't solid defensively throughout, but we needed to down the stretch. I think we did a good job," Lemanis said. Another pleasing aspect for Lemanis was New Zealand once again refused to panic under pressure. Having experienced players there who play with a sense of calmness and a belief in the group is important. After an even first stanza, the 36ers grabbed control of the game, stretching their lead to 10 points during the second quarter. However, with halftime approaching, the Breakers dragged themselves back into the game to be only 2 points down at the interval. The home side then started to put some pressure on Adelaide, and took a 2-point lead into the final 12 minutes as the 3-pointers started to drop. The 36ers then went on a roll to take a 7-point lead during the final term, before New Zealand finally grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck to win by 7 points. The game started evenly with the 36ers scoring the first points, and New Zealand making an immediate improvement from last week by scoring with their first two possessions. The lead seesawed through the first quarter, as both teams made early errors and struggled to gain control of the match. However, a couple of late three-pointers handed the 36ers a quarter-time advantage of 4 points. The second period started with Adelaide on a roll, scoring 7-1 and forcing Lemanis to call a timeout. It seemed to have an immediate effect, with Ronaldson, the Bear, nailing his first three-pointer of the season, having shot 0 from 13 in his first three games. The game then went through a scrappy period as both teams coughed up possessions in the key. Ronaldson then hit his second three-pointer, and the 36ers missed 4 3-throws in a row as the Breakers slowly reduced the deficit to leave the game balanced at half-time, Adelaide with a deserved 54-52 advantage. New Zealand grabbed the lead back with its first possession in the second half, Oscar Foreman scoring from beyond the arc after going scoreless in the first half, and then he was almost immediately benched with two quick personals. However, Adelaide, marshalled by an impressive Ma, refused to let the Breakers get too far ahead, 4 points the biggest advantage to the home team in the third quarter. New Zealand held the lead for the majority of the third, but a huge three-pointer from 36er Chappelle in the closing seconds threatened to give the visitors a three-quarter time lead. But hometown boy Kirk Penny had the final say of the stanza, nailing a three-pointer from the corner to give the Breakers an 84-82 lead. Adelaide started the fourth quarter impressively, rushing to a seven-point lead, as New Zealand struggled to retain possession. But New Zealand showed once again the calmness under pressure that Lemanis has spoken about, the Breakers refusing to panic and hitting back to take a four-point lead into the last 3 minutes of the game. With the basket starting to drop for the home side, Adelaide had to resort to fouling to halt the Breakers' charge, but almost faultless shooting from the three-throw line allowed New Zealand to run down the clock and register the win. Final score was New Zealand 116, Rickett with 30, Penny with 26, and Ronaldson with 19. Adelaide on 109, Ma with 27, Chappelle 21, Dench 16, and Bellinger with 16. The next game is the Bullets vs the Dragons from Saturday night, with reporting by Ryan Chase. Brisbane Bullets showed their pose and polish down the stretch to outlast the Dragons 110-109 at Vodafone Arena on Saturday night. The Bullets reeled in a 6-point deficit with less than 5 minutes to go and hit the front thanks to an Ebi Arar jump shot with 9 seconds left on the clock. The Dragons tried to run an on-ball screen in a bid to land the game-winning shot, but the play broke down and Joe Ingles' hurried attempt from long range clattered off the rim. Ebi Arar led the way with 33 points, 20 of which were scored in a second-term offensive onslaught that saw 72 points scored and the teams combined for 14 threes. The Bullets, who improved to 6-1, were also well served by CJ Bruton and Sam McKinnon, who each scored 24 points and, importantly, made big shots when they were most needed. Best for South, who remained winless at 0-6, was Cortez Grove, who led all scorers with 44 points. Not only was it Grove's personal best haul, the 44 points was also the best by a Dragons player in the short history of the club. It was the Dragons who started the better, skipping out to a 7-point edge, forcing an angry Bullets coach Joey Wright to force a brief early halt to proceedings with a timeout less than 3 minutes into the match. His message got through loud and clear, with the Bullets peeling off a cool 17-3 run on the way to a 25-22 advantage at the first break. The Bullets led 63-56 at the long interval, but South whittled away the deficit to just 2, 90-88, with a quarter to play. The result was also a downer for Dragons playing coach Shane Heal, who was playing game number 400. It also keeps Brisbane's perfect record against the Dragons, having not lost to the club since its inception at the start of last year. The final score was Dragons 109, Ebi Arar 33, Bruton 24, and McKinnon 24 as well. The Bullets 110, The Bullets on 110, Ebi Arar 33, Bruton and McKinnon 24, South Dragons 109, Groves 44, Ingles 18, and Heal with 11 in front of a crowd of 4,200. Next game is the Blaze versus the Hawks. The Gold Coast Blaze made it back-to-back wins at the Gold Coast Convention Centre on Saturday night with a comfortable 106-92 win over Wollongong. The Blaze opened with 10 unanswered points before Matt Campbell hit a three which steadied the ship for the visitors. In what was to be the story of the night, all five Blaze starters had scored within the opening 5 minutes, whilst too much was left to too few for the Hawks, who were playing an import down after the midweek sacking of American James Peters. Perro Cameron was a dominant force inside for the Blaze early, as he drew two early fouls on Cameron Rigby. Cameron worked beautifully with Jason Crowe, executing on a pair of picks and rolls before stepping outside for a sweet three. Crowe was a handful for the entire quarter, posting 13 points. Matt Campbell kept the Hawks in touch with a trio of triples for the quarter, continuing on his highly accurate early season outside shooting. Casey Frank was a spark off the bench for the Blaze, with 9 points including an unlikely three and a typical brilliant one-handed dunk which brought the crowd to its feet. For the Hawks, Kvossi Franklin kept the Gold Coasters honest with some tough drives and a monster bank from 2 metres outside the arc at the first quarter buzzer to reduce the margin to 8. The second quarter was a carbon copy of the first, with the Blaze getting off to a fast start. The Gold Coasters extended the lead to 15 points on the back of some nice inside-outside stuff from Cameron, a pair of threes from Harvey, and some ever-efficient work from Hawkins. The Hawks worked hard defensively and were more of a presence on the boards with Cameron Rigby, the shining light, totaling 5 rebounds for the quarter. Again, the Hawks fought back late in the quarter, with young gun Cameron Tregarth warming to his task against a tough Blaze front line, and Franklin again making a tough three with seconds remaining in the half to reduce the margin, this time to 7 points. With the game within reach for the understrength Hawks, they seemed to sense an upset might be on the cards. The defensive intensity seemed to go up another notch, forcing the Blaze into some errant shot selections. Franklin started to run it hard back at the Blaze on the break, while Tregarth continued to battle manfully inside for the Hawks. For the Blaze, McGregor was a presence inside, while Crow continued to be a threat. With 6 minutes to go in the quarter, a Larry Davidson offensive rebound and put back from Tregarth missed free throw leveled the scores at 68, and it was game on. The Blaze closed out the quarter with an 11-5 run to take a slender 79-73 lead into the last. The Blaze took control in the last quarter, with import duo Crow and Hawkins scoring 17 points between them. For the Hawks, Franklin with 30 was a standout, but with Campbell held to just 2 second-half points, the mountain was too high to climb for the Hawks. Opposing point guards Franklin and Crow went blow for blow, with neither getting on top of the other, whilst the classy shooting guard clash between Harvey and Campbell was more subdued but no less intriguing, with both players' defensive powers coming to the fore. In the end, the backcourts fought a draw, but it was inside where the Blaze had the advantage. Tregarth completed a remarkable consistent game with 21 points and 10 rebounds, but had very little backup in the paint against the Blaze front line of Cameron, Frank and McGregor, with a little bit of Melmoth thrown in for good measure. Blaze coach Brendan Joyce was happy with the win, but realistic about where his team stands relative to the heavyweights of the competition. "I didn't like what we did in parts of that game. We didn't execute and were inconsistent in some situations. We have a lot of work to do to beat a Brisbane or a Sydney or Melbourne Tigers," said Joyce. "We need that consistency and we need better decision making on a consistent basis. I'm being realistic. We got to get it for 4 quarters. We got to play the D for 4 quarters and we've got to have a hardness about us to execute in each possession," Joyce went on to say. The next game is the Razorbacks versus the Kings. A superb second half fight back has seen the West Sydney Razorbacks record a 103-96 victory over the previously unbeaten Kings at the Sydney Olympic Park Sports Centre on Saturday night. In front of a boisterous home crowd, the Razorbacks, who trailed by as many as 13 points in the second quarter, outshone their more fancied crosstown rivals to claim their fourth victory of the season. Star import Darnell Hinson once again led the way for the Razorbacks with 21 points and 9 assists, while rookie forward Julian Kazoo continued his strong start to the NBL Championship with 20 points. The Kings remained in the contest throughout, but were unable to produce the fourth quarter magic that has so far been their trademark this season. Captain Jason Smith led by example for the visitors with a game-high 25. "There's no doubt that that's our best win for the ball club," a delighted Razorbacks head coach Rob Beveridge said. "We got to a point where we had to address their three-point shooting. They hit 6 threes in that second quarter, and that blew it out. I think when the Kings went a little cold, it gave us the ability to get out and run a bit more, and once we pick up that running game, there's a lot more confidence within the team." A frenetic opening quarter saw both teams hold the advantage at various stages, before a late surge saw the Kings take a 26-23 lead into the first break. Cameron Tovey added 8 points off the bench to lead all scorers, while West Sydney's big man Tony Rampton and Kazoo led the way with 4 points apiece. The Kings came out firing in the second term, extending their lead to 13. Captain Jason Smith led the way with 9 second quarter points, including 3 triples. West Sydney rallied late in the quarter as Hinton began to assert himself, but it was the home side who trailed 53-47 at halftime. The hosts continued their resurgence early in the second half to lead by a solitary point after 4 minutes. Sydney regained the lead thanks to a Glenn Saville 3, but it was the Razorbacks, spurred on by a vocal home crowd, who took a 78-74 advantage into the final break. Kazoo continued his stellar play with 10 third-quarter points, including 2 long-range efforts. The final score was West Sydney 103, Hinton with 21, Kazoo 20, and DeVries with 16, with Sydney 96, Smith with 25, Worthington with 16, and Toby with 15, in front of a crowd of 3,850. Next match to report on is the Crocs vs. the Sixers from Ryan Lendl at Sportle. A dominant performance by Ben Pepper helped the Crocs snap a 5-game losing streak and record their first home victory of the season, defeating the 36ers 112-90 at the Townsville Entertainment Centre. Pepper provided the majority of the home side's baskets, with 24, 17 of which came from a standout second quarter, while new import Corey Williams accounted for 18. Adelaide's Brett Maher proved the standalone force for visiting side, netting 18 points, with Ballinger and Dench supporting an attack with 14 points apiece. A superior 3-point tally kept the Sixers in touch with the highly improved Crocs. The sides exchanged baskets early, while the Crocs' Corey Williams netting his first home points of the season, while drawing a third personal from the 36ers' Matt Sutton. The new import would continue to dominate the third quarter, with 3 from 3 at the free throw line to provide the home side's main drive. Greg Vandergat and Michael Cedar made immediate impacts off the bench, Vandergat racking up a quick 4 points to his name and Cedar with a trio of 3-pointers. The 36ers were abysmal from the free throw line, missing on 8 occasions to allow the Crocs a 9-point lead at the first break. An Adelaide turnover at the start of the second period gave Pepper a crowd-rousing dunk to take his tally to 17 and the Crocs lead to 13. The Crocs would extend the margin to 18 courtesy of 3-pointers from Rilly and Egan to continue their promising start to a home game this season. The 36ers struggled to match the opposition, shooting 39.9% from the field compared to 61.1% for the Crocs. An improved Adelaide started the turn better of the two sides, slashing the lead back to 12 before the Crocs got out of the blocks. The away side's Brett Maher was the chief threat to the Crocs, lifting his personal tally to 18. 3-pointers to Kelvin Robertson and Rilly brought the Crocs and the home crowd to life, and the margin out to 16 with 2 minutes left for the quarter, the Crocs eventually going to break with a 95-70 lead. Adelaide fought hard to slash the lead, but the Crocs refused to let the game slip away. Final score, we mentioned before, the high scorers for Townsville was Pep with 24, Williams 18, and Rilly with 13. Adelaide finished with Brett Maher with 18, Ballinger with 14, and Dench with 14 as well, in front of a crowd of 4,388. Next game to look at is the Wildcats versus the Taipans. Thanks to another outstanding scoring display from Sean Redditch, who won last week's Player of the Week, because I didn't get that on last week's show, the Perth Wildcats have defeated the Cairns Taipans 87-73 in the NBL Hummer Championship. The Wildcats were desperate to gain a measure of revenge for the Taipans, eliminating them from last season in the finals at the same venue in February. After a recent 40-point display, Redditch made sure that former coach Alan Black would not gain another big win over his former side. Redditch scored 8 in the opening period, 11 in the second, 7 in the third, and 2 in the final to have 28 for the match and continue his brilliant start to the season and help the Cats to a 14-point win. While the former Perth coach wanted to again beat the Cats, so did two more former Wildcats in his son Stephen Black and Rashad Tucker. Tucker had a quiet start to the match, but 12 second-half points proved important in the Taipans sticking in the match, while the Cats had no match for guard Black, who finished with 21 points. Taipan's big man Nathan Jawai and Tucker had little luck against Perth's big front court, and the coach would have liked his side to be able to adjust better when things weren't going their way. We've got to learn how to do things a little differently when they are being played that way. We tried to keep going at them, and we weren't getting any joy. And then we have to accept that and move on, Black said. It took us a while to do that, and then in the last quarter, when we got back to within 4 points, I felt we were right in it. But there were a couple of plays that we couldn't quite make that would have made a difference. Perth did a good job of finishing off the game strongly, he said. With the Taipans still missing key players like Darnell Mee and Martin Catalini, the depth of the Wildcats was ultimately the difference. Captain Paul Rogers scored 13 points and collected 15 rebounds, Alex Lawton scored 13, with Peter Crawford and Rashad Phillip also scoring 10 each. Wildcats coach Scott Fisher was particularly delighted with his side's defensive effort, especially with Brad Robbins starting in order to stick with the dangerous Black. Defensively, it was the best we've played all year. We only had a few minor lapses. Our concentration and communication was excellent, even if the execution always wasn't. When we are mentally ready to play defense, we are a very good defensive team, Fisher said. We proved that by holding them to 36% and after 6 games, we are still holding opponents below 39%. Offensively, we still sputter from time to time, but we did a lot better job at looking after the ball. We can still get a lot better offensively, and we missed a lot of opportunities. Cairns is still sure to be a contender this season, which Fisher knows, and he would have liked to have secured a larger victory over the side that has become Perth's arch rivals. With those guys, Mee and Catalini, back for them, it's a different situation, but that was a 14-point victory and indicative of the difference between the two teams, he said. If you add in the fact that we missed 15 free throws, of which we should have made 7 or 8, all of a sudden it was a blowout. We can hang with these guys, even when they get their full side together. Perth got off to the ideal start to exact revenge on Cairns when guard Crawford opened the scoring with a three and the Wildcats scored the first 6 points of the game. Cairns' chances of staying within reach in the opening quarter weren't helped when big man Nathan Joai was forced out with two early fouls. With Abney in good touch though, Cairns stuck with the home side to trail by just four at the end of the first quarter. The Wildcats dominated the second quarter, including a 10-2 run to begin it, and the home side's lead was stretched to a game-high 15 after Redditch added 5 quick points to take his total to 19 for the half. However, 5 straight points to Gary Budnikoff saw the Taipans within 10 at 46-36 at the main break. The Taipans made an encouraging start to the third period, getting within 5 of the Cats, but the lead of the home side was soon back out to double figures. Black was almost single-handedly keeping his side in touch with his former club with 13 points in the third quarter. However, the Wildcats had more scoring options and were only outscored by 2 leading into the final quarter despite the heroics from Black. With Tucker finding touch and Joai a handful under the basket, the Taipans got within 4 midway through the final period, but the Cats steadied and did enough to secure a solid home win. The Wildcats finished 87, Redditch with 28, Rogers 13 and Lawton as well, Cairns 73, Black with 21, Tucker 13 and Abney with 9 in front of a crowd of 4,000. The last game of the round was New Zealand versus Singapore. The New Zealand Breakers won their first ever game at the Singapore Indoor Stadium by downing the Slingers 116-99 on Sunday to continue their recent good run of form, having now won their last 3 games in a row. As expected, former NBA draft pick Kirk Penny and big centre Rick Rickett did most of the damage, finishing with 24 and 23 points respectively. Breakers coach Andre Lemanis was obviously elated with the result, which also happened to be his team's first away victory in the season. The result moved the Breakers up one spot to 6th in the ladder with a 3-2 record. "I am totally happy with the result," said Lemanis. "In the first quarter, our defence allowed too many baskets, and so we had to try and open up our defence, and this in turn helped our offence and flow. We had good execution with open shots and easy baskets, and that was the key today." The Slingers missed their first 4 attempts to allow New Zealand to run up an early 7-0 lead. Rod Grizzard finally got the home side off the mark with an athletic reverse layup under the basket. That proved just the spark that Gordie McLeod's boys needed as they proceeded to tie the game at 7-all before a Ben Knight steal and layup with 5 minutes 30 remaining in the opening period put Singapore into a 15-13 lead. Grizzard, who was to end the quarter with 13 points, then stripped Ronaldson to set up a 3 on one break before finishing off the move with the trademark two-handed dunk to put the Slingers 19-13 up, forcing Lemanis to call a timeout. The Slingers closed out the quarter leading by 8. Whatever Lemanis said to his players during the short interval worked a treat as the Breakers came out firing on all cylinders at the start of the second quarter, going on an 8-0 run to tie the game at 28 apiece. The Slingers managed to keep the scores tight for the next 6 minutes or so before surrendering the lead to a Ronaldson sweet jump shot with 3 minutes 30 remaining in the second period. With Grizzard suddenly going cold, the momentum was with New Zealand, the visitors going on a 10-2 run to lead at halftime. Try as they did for the rest of the game, the Slingers could not close the widening gap, which at one point in the fourth quarter stood at 22 points. Grizzard rediscovered his range in a belated attempt to lead his team in a comeback, but with Mike Helms held to just 15 points, the Slingers' valiant effort petered out as they had to settle for a 17-point defeat, going down 99-116. Said Singapore skipper Ben Knight, "The Breakers were on fire tonight, their passes were really sharp and their 3 points largely on target. Even though we beat them twice last season, they've only lost one game this year, and they got the better of us tonight. We got to pick it up defensively. Our performance tonight was just not good enough. Among other things, we have to work on getting fitter during the season and take a good hard look at ourselves and see where we can improve." Slingers head coach Gordie McLeod could not hide his disappointment after the game, but remained positive despite the loss. "The goal was to try and shoot the team down to the low 90s in order to stand a chance to win," he said. "We did a good job in the first quarter with good defence, but switched off in the second." So that wraps up round 5 of the NBL Championship. Hope you enjoyed our coverage. Not sure if you were looking along with the tips from last week. I did all right. My tally's gone up to 28. This week we've got another big round of action, which should be great. The first game of the week is the Kings versus the 36ers, which is in Sydney. It's the Fox Sports game of the week, so if you've got Foxtel, tune in from 7:30 for the game. If you've got a bit of time beforehand, 7 o'clock, Steve Carfino and Casey will be hosting the Starting Five show on Fox Sports. But my tip for that game is the Sydney Kings to get up over the 36ers. They had their first loss to West Sydney, but I think they should be able to get up and get over the 36ers, hopefully. The next game is the Hawks versus the Wildcats. Hawks, not too good this season. Wildcats having to travel all the way from Perth, but I think they should be able to get the win. The Crocs versus the Kings. Well, the Crocs got a win last week. I think the Kings will be able to get back and get the second win of the week for them. Next game we've got is the Taipans versus the Bullets in Cairns. Good Queensland game. I think the Bullets should be able to get up and win that one. Then in Melbourne, we've got the Tigers versus New Zealand. New Zealand playing tough schedule in Melbourne this week, playing the Dragons later on, but I think the Tigers should be able to get that one. Then we've got the 36ers versus Gold Coast in Adelaide. I'll get on Gold Coast for that one. 36ers, while playing all right, I think the Blaze might be able to get a win on the road. Then we've got the Razorbacks versus the Hawks. The Pigs should get that one. The Dragons versus the Breakers. I'm getting on the Dragons this time to get their first win of the season, hopefully. And finally, the Slingers versus the Kings in Singapore. And I think the Kings should be able to get that win and make it 3-from-3 for this round, which is pretty big. So hopefully you've enjoyed the show. Remember, you can give us feedback at mblpodcast@yahoo.com. And until next week, have a good week.